Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Welcome, everyone.
See who introduces this episode.
Yeah. We're fighting over it. You can tell.
I hit the go live button, and as you can tell from just 20 seconds in, Govier is not with us, so this will be produced by Ben and I, and you will know it. But tonight, we are happy to be discussing MILB league leaders, be that pitchers, hitters, anything but managers, because that doesn't matter, right? We know that doesn't matter, Ben. That's why Washington was able to get rid of theirs as well as their GM.
If you could fire an owner, this is an organization that really needed to do that. This is an owner who decided that he was going to fight against the Orioles regarding TV rights. And because he did that, they're screwed on money. Because they have an arrangement with the Orioles that really kills them on money revenue, I think still for like 3 or 4 more years. And they went into like the 2017 or so season thinking, we're going to win this court case. We're going to have all kinds of TV money. And so they said, okay, Mike Rizzo, you can go out and you can spend some money. You can sign Max Scherzer long-term. You can go get a Patrick Corbin. You can go get all these guys that ended up winning them a World Series in 2019. And then basically ever since, the court said, yeah, you don't win this case. And the owner said, well, yeah, okay, now you don't have any money to keep Anthony Rendon, which, you know, really did that hurt them. But, you know, but to keep together the team, to make a better than crap offer to Juan Soto, to keep him in town, those sorts of things. Now, granted, where they are right now is in large part because of the Juan Soto trade, which I got to say, how many major league GMs in the last few years have pulled off a sell-off trade that good?
Right. Preller didn't.
No.
Because he sold Soto shortly after, and a lot of people were making comments about that one. So, yeah, that one hasn't been bad. And honestly, this is a situation kind of similar to Anthopoulos in Toronto a decade ago, where, you know, he made moves with a team trying to win and was, you know, replaced, mind you, much faster that following offseason. As it will for Washington, several years before whomever comes in gets to actually make an imprint on the roster, because things have been set in motion. Now, Toronto's case, it was some veterans coming in and some big trades that moved prospects out. So they had to, you know, draft and develop, as well as, of course, veteran signings. But here with Washington, it's a lot more about the next wave of prospects is already in your system. They were drafted by the, you know, now gone management. What you need to do is not screw up what they did and add to it, which I think is, I don't know if that's hard or not. I think that's a more challenging thing.
I was just
because you can't
say,
bump a guy.
Because, I mean, we've talked about it already. We've got, Washington has got a very unique pitching development system right now, but I like it. But then again, you and I both like 6'6", 250 guys, you know?
Right.
And they have a basketball team on the pitcher's mound. That is what, I mean, they have a lot of tall guys. You suddenly bring in a development system that really doesn't know how to work with tall guys, you got to gut your entire system. I mean, that's just the way their system is set up.
A coach at the wrong level could hurt, and a coach that they, you know, remain at X level or bring in from outside could really elevate, which again, goes back to the joke of, you know, it doesn't matter about the managers. Of course it does. The coaches, everybody, it's all important. So anyway, we'll follow this with the Nats, but it is, of course, not the main topic tonight. That's going to be league leaders. And somebody who has played a lot of minor league ball and was once upon a time like a bus type guy and then became good through a trade out of Pittsburgh. Where have we heard that before? Moving to Tampa Bay. Tyler Glass now is with the Dodgers. He is back tomorrow night, I believe, depending on when you're listening to this, Wednesday night. I am terrified in fantasy. Why would they not have just waited another week, Ben, and let him have the All-Star break off and all that stuff? Other than maybe just they're going to put him in for 65, 70 pitches, something like that.
I almost wonder if, you know, I don't have this in front of me. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he still has an option and they might be able to bring him up, get him a major league start, send him down to AAA for a AAA start on schedule.
Jeez.
And then he could come back up and be on the major league team.
Gotcha. Okay.
That I have seen that with guys like this before coming back where they get one or two starts ahead of All-Star break. They have an option. They can go down. They get themselves another start so that they stay on schedule. And then they're it usually leads to they're the first or second guy coming out of the All-Star break. Now, the question you have here, you've got Ohtani ramping up.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have Glass now, who I highly doubt is going to be up to big time innings. Don't look now, but Yamamoto has hit a wall over his last three or four starts, with a real bad one.
Oh my God, that was rough. Yes, his two thirds of an inning. Oh,
we might be already in midseason Dodger bullpen game mode, which. With, you know, they might be having Glasnow go three and Ohtani start to go three as they, quote unquote, stretch him.
So, Ben, I like the idea of just combining that and you have the piggyback situation where, you know, you start Ohtani and then Glasnow comes in and you get what you get. No shortage of talent, of course. It's just a matter of health, which it has been. Kershaw, you know, mm-hmm. he's, of course, but has not been for long. So, it definitely, as always with the Dodgers, is a developing situation. And I'm skipping over the next one to cover the final bit of the Dodger news. Cincinnati's old closer Alexis Diaz is back, and it's in Dodger blue after he was traded. He has been working on himself, his arm, whatever, getting right. We'll see where this comes in with the Dodgers, because of course there are injuries in the bullpen. They're signing all these veterans. They are a magnet for people who want to win, and we'll see if this works out.
The numbers have been really impressive on Prospect Savant for Alexis Diaz the last few games. If you watch his games on that, velocity is right. It's really moving again like it was when he was at his best in the major leagues, but it's really moving within the zone. So, I mean, these are positive signs, I guess. It's you know, a guy who just all this. I mean, Diaz has always been a guy who was kind of okay control, never great. And when you lose it, that's just, quite frankly, it's a scary situation. So, but we'll skip back, or we'll hop back now on our list here. Mm-hmm. Rhys Hoskins out 6+ weeks. Robbie has in here, who is Milwaukee's first baseman? Well, you don't trust Andrew Vaughn? Andrew Vaughn going deep last night. Andrew Vaughn?
No, I don't. I'm so sorry that honest to goodness, is like on a competitive team as Milwaukee wants to be.
Chad's on your case already.
Yeah, it's true. Having dropped Andrew, made a trade for Andrew Vaughn this year, I'm just concerned about the idea of Vaughn and Bowers. as the first base combo. Oh gosh. And didn't they pick up, don't they have another guy here? Who am I thinking of? Bobby Dalbec's the other one. Murky. Yeah. It's murky there. And to me, in the sense that you play a hot hand type guy, but Vaughn, I can't imagine that's a real thing that Milwaukee would sit on. I guess really it goes back to, they have so much pitching depth. Do they want to deal from it? Because they did send down what Patrick got sent down.
Chad, I feel like Patrick got sent down, and now you got Logan Henderson and Chad Patrick sitting in AAA.
Yeah.
And they put up a 2-something ERA when they were in the majors and had incredible pitch stats. I mean, those guys, you would think, even though Patrick's background isn't heavy, you would think that those guys, if someone's coming to talk with Milwaukee, they're like, you know, hey, we can find a spot in our rotation in Colorado or in wherever, you know, because we'll gladly take a guy who's major league ready and you don't have room for.
Yeah, like if I was Milwaukee, I would honestly look. I'm just looking at the rotation now. Freddie Peralta, Mizrowski, Quintana, Quinn Priester, and then Woodruff. I mean, I understand Priester is not yet 25, but he is your salvage, your second salvage from Pittsburgh. The other's not to the same extent in, Wilson, I think, whoever it was. Doesn't matter.
Bryce Wilson, yep.
Bryce Wilson, thank you. Trade Quinn Priester to fix the problem if you think Rhys Hoskins' absence is going to be major for you. And I'm sure you could fix it because you got an option. He's got, what, 2 or 3 years left, I believe, of control, at least next season, at minimum.
If nothing else, you've got Tobias Myers is actually pitching a lot better too.
That's right.
Now down in AAA. And so, I mean, you got some depth. I mean, you've got the ability to go out and do some things, I think, which is
instead of Patchett. That's my, have a position player that comes in and whatever. But I feel like there's probably a team out there who has a, like, you know, there's always a fit. It's a matter of making it work. And then that's where the skill of your general manager is supposed to come through. But anyway, we could get lost in that. Hoskins out, that sucks. Darvish is back, as we'd mentioned, Glasnow coming back too.
With Darvish, and just mentioned Woodruff.
Mm-hmm.
Both Darvish and Woodruff are not the pitchers they were in 2022. So if that's what you're hoping you're getting, that's not what they are. And neither one of them showed that, but they both showed that they could be productive starters. Darvish, maybe less so in his start by stats, but the pitches were working. They were just pitching with more of a kitchen sink model and being veteran and knowing how to spot that. And Woodruff, I think Eno Saris had it that Woodruff was a 130 something location plus. And like elite is 110. So he was just unbelievable in that game, locating pitches. And that's what he's got to do now. He doesn't have 96.7. And so he's working 93.4 and using more cutters, using a different kind of curveball, using just different things that keep hitters honest. And that may not bring you back the strikeouts that you were used to with those guys. That's kind of where I was going with all this. So,
yeah,
Darvish, Woodruff are going to be names that might be more valuable to you in a trade if they come up. Like if Woodruff has another start or two like this, I would be shopping him hard in your league, because you could probably get really good value for him.
Yeah, that's a great point. And if you're in a points league, it's going to be more palatable to keep them. But if you're in a contracts league, those guys are going to be expensive for sure. So they would be worthy to move out for kind of the next man up or early established players. If you've got them, or if that's what you're looking for, somebody would say, "Oh, I trust that these guys are going to be able to do X, Y, Z." So one thing we never know, Ben, is what's going to happen out of a rookie. And the Yankees have called up one whose name is definitely going to become a problem for some announcers. Cam Schlittler.
I so wish Bert Blyleven was still around, because he would just trip all over that one.
Schlittler is a seventh round pick in 2022, and he has quietly been very good at throwing baseballs this year. He's been
tremendous this year.
Between AA and AAA, he's got 14 starts, 76 and two-thirds innings, 99 Ks, 26 walks. It's all good. it's good. And who was it that went down? Clark Schmidt, right? That's the reason that he got opened
Tommy
up.
Tommy John for him.
Yeah. So this is a very fun window to open for Schlittler. And we'll see how that goes. We've also seen over the last week, Ben, I know you got the bigger list. We've seen Colson Montgomery come up and have Hall of Fame numbers out the gate. Kennedy Corona of Houston is another one who's up.
He got promoted, and I think there's a little bit of like, ooh, Houston promoting a center fielder. Let's pay attention. Yeah, if he hits 220 at the major league level, we should all rejoice and be happy. This is an elite defensive outfielder, very, very good athlete, who is in like year 9 of the minor leagues and has still not figured out how to make contact.
There you go.
Probably not coming. Just there's a good question real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Are we live streaming the draft? And the answer is negatory. Now, I will say, you need to talk with Mrs. Big Gentle Ben and let her know that you would like me to live tweet or live blue sky. I don't know what that is called, but the draft, because that is something I was going to do, but it all depends on how life is going on. So,
yeah. And we have discussed having our kind of first reactions to the first round, depending on if we delay a day and maybe record 1 week from today after the festivities have the dust has settled a little bit. But before everybody has signed or said this or said that, just so we can kind of have some fun, because the draft is great and exciting, but there's always, especially once we hit, you know, round three and beyond, there's always a lot happening and a lot of searching of names where this guy's here. And then you can't initially see strategy or strategery, as it's pronounced in American, until after you've gotten through the draft and you've seen where, you know, the players are and how late these high schoolers that Milwaukee drafted are and all those things. So we will see. But yeah, next week we'll definitely cover the draft as far as what's happened when we do end up recording. So Ben, the Erie
Seawolves.
Moon Mammoths.
Moon Mammoths. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. That is going to be amazing. I'm so excited that they got called up, because that was actually one of the follow-up things that I realized I didn't talk about with you when we were talking about this last week, when we were talking about this a little bit, that this would have been such a better thing if, you know, they have that and they have Max Clark and they have Kevin McGonigal. Well, now they're going to have Kevin McGonigal and Max Clark and Josue Baseño, who all got promoted up to AA, and they're all hitting well right out of the gate. In fact, we're going to get into our minor league leaders. Did you know Max Clark is tied for the minor league lead across all of the minor leagues in walks this year?
No, I did not. Wow.
Which, for a 20-year-old who's going to be in AA, 19 or 20-year-old, but that's really stinking impressive.
Yeah, that is some...
plus plays elite defense. I mean, that's it's a nice combination of skills there, so...
Yeah, so those Moon Mammoths looking good. Rockies, as you've pointed out here, Ben, as we would expect, focusing on winning right now and sending Chase Dollander down. Yes. Now, a near 7 ERA in MLB would be horrendous if it wasn't for the fact that on the road he's been fine, arguably average for an MLB pitcher, let alone a rookie. But he has been horrendous at Coors.
And this was always the case with Dollander. Everyone, as soon as he got drafted, said,
"Yeah,
that skill set is just not going to play well in quarters." And look at what happened, you know.
And honestly, the only thing I'm thinking is, how is it that they haven't addressed it or didn't address it before? Of like, here's how you're going to need to pitch here. Like, this is your skill set. We're not Red Sox giving you the cutter. We're not somebody else. You know, we're not Houston with a curveball. Mm-hmm. We don't develop that. We're going to let you do what you do and try to hone it. But what you've got to do is locate, locate, locate. And it's got to be weak contact. No, he's just getting knocked around. And it's just rough. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I mean, he's not the only pitcher that I don't think has a great setup. All the Rockies pitchers obviously don't have a great setup, but Dolander getting sent down also kind of lines up with all-star break timing and things like that too. So I don't know that he'll come back up immediately or whatever happens. We got what, roughly 10 days, I think, before we would be seeing him post his last start anyway. So either way, not ideal. Yeah, I've just seen, who was it in the chat that just said, Chad just said that Richard Fitz of the Red Sox got sent down, and yeah, he was fine, but that could be a timing thing, kind of as Ben had mentioned earlier, with Glasnow potentially. Now, Alec Manoah of the AL East leading Toronto Blue Jays, who are on a 9-game heater right now and playing way over their heads. He's throwing bullpens in Florida right now and is up to 95. And from the manager's mouth to our ears, he feels good, et cetera, et cetera. I kind of think this would be a smart play for Toronto in their bullpen.
Yeah.
If their rotation seems fine, do not rock that boat. You're only going to need four starters in the playoffs anyway. Maybe this is a way to get Manoah back in when he can help your team without overextending him. Remember two years ago or something like that, Gausman came in, signed the big deal, and Manoah was the opening day starter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
this is I love him. I've just always really liked Alec Manoah's approach on the mound. I mean, he's one of those guys. He's give me the ball,
yeah,
pitch, give me the ball again, let me pitch. I mean, and I love it. He's not a guy, you know, dinks around, walking around, talking to himself or shaking. Rarely shakes off the catcher. I mean, he just get up, give me a sign, let's go. Give me a sign, let's, you know, and wants to just keep moving. I love those kind of guys. It really broke my heart when all of a sudden you could tell there was a mental thing involved there where he was not right mentally, and it affected him on the mound. I'm so glad to see him pitching well again, and I hope Toronto does this right and lets him ease back on innings, not pushing him too hard, because he could be, like you said, he could be a dynamite bullpen piece for them this year. And then who, don't they have like three of their starters or free agents after this year?
I think Bassett, Scherzer. So there's at least two. So
very easily can slip him back into the rotation next year
to
take absolutely one of those spots. So
that's our suggestion.
The Blue Jays have now moved. It just blows me that they're three stinking full games ahead of New York Yankees.
Take
first place, but they are way ahead.
Yeah, for the first time in franchise history, they had a 4-game sweep of the Yankees in Toronto. And then there was some stuff between commentators talking about how, the Blue Jays aren't, Yankee broadcasting, and Blue Jays aren't really a first place club. And then after the sweep, one of the guys from Toronto, Jamie Campbell, holding the broom up and doing the, you know, we swept you, we're a first place club. Yeah, because they are, but they are also run differentials pooched, and they got on a heater when everybody else has been, you know, roughly playing 500 baseball. You could argue even under if you genuinely look, like no one's pulled ahead it other than Toronto, like in that division. And sure, that's what they're doing. So give credit to Toronto for now, but also understand that like this team is not as good as a Davis Schneider as well, coming back up and being a serviceable player for them has been an important role, and he should be a role player. So they're not complete.
This is what I was remembering, that another reason why they should delay the advancement of Manoah. He is in ARB now. You let him finish out the year in the bullpen as a middle relief guy. Significantly lower salary going into next year for the Jays, which helps them then build that team at a price that they can afford.
But that's assuming Toronto would spend it well, though, Ben. And they typically don't try to spend smart. They just spend.
Well, they try. They bring everyone to come visit us, and we're going to offer you a nice big deal so that you can go sign with the Dodgers. I mean,
but they're paying Miles Straw $7 million. Andre Jimenez is locked in for 4 years beyond that. Like, you know, Spencer Horowitz is off in Pittsburgh now playing, right? Of course, the injury was not part of that trade, but he's going to get it together at league minimum versus the however many millions of dollars this debacle has been for Toronto. But whatever, they've needed straw at times this year and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, last bit of news so we can get to the main topic tonight. Jesus Take the Wheel pick is abbreviated, of course, because these guys are only going to get one start. So this is more of a general thing that I didn't realize the stock had fallen so far. But to be honest, I should have, because outside of the deep dynasty leagues I play in, Logan Allen has been an afterthought for a year, like a full calendar year. And right now, and this is Cleveland's Logan Allen, right now, Logan Allen is 7% rostered on Yahoo. Now, I'm counting that as a redraft heavy, very little dynasty there. Whereas on Fantrax, he's much higher because people just, you know, stash him in the minors or whatever. But in the last month, 29 innings pitched, 2-3 record, so 5 starts. You guys got the math on that. 25 Ks, 3.41 ERA, 3 quality starts in those 5 starts. I think he's turned the corner. So I'm liking Logan Allen to continue into the second half. If you want to just say it's not necessarily a 3-gamer here, I just think this could be somebody for the second half who you're going to want to have on your team. And of course, his cost went from take him, he is in my way filling up a roster spot, to back to being of use as he is now, as I mentioned, putting up serviceable numbers. And of course, if your league is counting quality starts, he's putting up good numbers in that sense.
And he has to have quality starts going forward, because Cleveland is starting to stack up AA and AAA options for their rotation. We were talking a lot of the last couple of years about young pitchers that they've had coming, and those guys have now kind of congregated in AA and AAA. Cleveland's got options. If Allen isn't pitching, they're going to bring in somebody else. It's going to be rough for Logan Allen if he doesn't pitch. So the pressure is there that he's got to keep doing it, and which some guys respond to that and they give you a really solid performance. Other guys, not so much.
Okay, here's the funniest thing about Cleveland's rotation right now. The oldest person in it, Ben, is Logan Allen. He's 26.
Yeah.
26 and like it's a change. It's a, like,
yeah.
Holy smokes. Everybody else, 25 or 26. Gavin Williams is 26. Tanner Bibee, 26. Joey Cantillo, 25 and a half. And then Slade Cicioni is 26. Yeah, they're young. I mean, my goodness. But Shane Bieber's going to come back at some point. Second, I guess it really depends on how much they want to push it with him. But he could come back if they need it. This could be another one of those fun guys from the bullpen guys. Let have him come back and not overdo it for innings, but try to, you know, work hard on his arm. Cleveland's done a good job of resurrecting some dudes too. Nolan Jones was absolutely horrible to start this year, and they didn't throw him down in the minors because he didn't have any options, and they didn't try to DFA or whatever. They stuck it out with him, and now he has been better. I don't know that he has been more to the liking of everyday role, but he is hitting higher in that lineup and playing some left field, right field, or right field, I should say. Kwan is the left fielder there. Bo Naylor, just like rough. And then Brian Rocchio, who was so bad they sent him down, I have noticed now he is back up quietly promoted again. So Cleveland doing a good job of making chicken shit into chicken salad with a lot of the performance of their players.
Wow.
Right? A lot of guys who have kind of fallen out right there. 3 guys in particular, Allen, Rocchio and Jones are all back and playing in that roster. So anyway, let's talk about some successful people tonight, Ben. We don't need to talk about the guys down at the bottom. We're talking about MILB league leaders in various categories. So did you want to start it off as you have organized this here with home runs?
I will on the, you know, there have been plenty of guys promoted that we've talked about. And so we are going to get into every level and the leaders at each level and go through that. But I just thought for a few, you know, stats overall, it'd be interesting to look at. Home runs in the minor leagues, Ryan Ward in the Dodgers system with 23. Bob Seymour in Tampa Bay system with 22. Lázaro Montes of Seattle with 21, and apparently another one again tonight. Mm-hmm. So he is actually now tied for second, 20 years old in AA. Impressive. James Outman, who can't seem to hit anything but a home run, Esmerlin Valdez of Pittsburgh and Spencer Jones of the Yankees all have 20. So there's your kind of your top five, six guys in the top five, but top five home run guys. Stolen bases. Tommy Hawk has been just incredible this year with Cleveland, and I think he's a guy who's been across two different levels. 65 steals. Asbel Gonzalez with Kansas City has 58. AJ Ewing with the Mets is another guy who's been across multiple levels, 52. I had no freaking clue the Braves had anyone who knew how to steal a base. Patrick Clohizzy, who I have not heard of and is a Braves prospect, apparently.
The way you say it is a question mark.
Has 51 steals. Colby Jones, who I do know is with the Braves, but did not realize he could run like this. And Kyle DeBarg of Minnesota are tied for the fifth spot with 45 steals. Now, strikeouts in the minor leagues. Jonah Tong is leading everybody of the Mets, 125 strikeouts. Treya Savage has been across three levels so far and is right now second in the minors in strikeouts with 111. The Dodgers have another one. Patrick Copen has 106 strikeouts. And then would you believe that the Blue Jays have another prospect in the top five in strikeouts?
Yeah, shocking.
Jahron Watts-Brown is tied with Ian Seymour of Tampa Bay with 104 strikeouts.
And Ian Seymour, not to be confused with Bob Seymour of Tampa
Bay. Yeah, isn't that crazy? and then the last but not least, I did the innings, and these are kind of heavily weighted toward AAA, but there's a few guys on here who definitely have moved up. Carson Wisenhunt, San Francisco, has 94 innings. Cade Morris with the Athletics has 91 and a third. Duncan DeVitt has 90 and two-thirds. Aaron Wilkerson in Cincinnati with 90, and Logan Workman with Tampa Bay with 89. The highest that Tampa Bay is third, that Tampa Bay has is third, but in the top nine, they have five in innings pitched in all of the minor leagues. You know, and we always talk about how Tampa eases guys up the system and yada, yada, yada. They got five of the guys with the most innings pitched in the minors right now. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, very uncharacteristic. Also, for minor league teams, or for these guys mentioned, to not have any wily veteran types amongst them.
Wilkerson's probably as close as there is, but even he's, I think, 24 or 5-ish or something like that. But I think he has had some, I want to say that he's either been on a major league. Yeah, he's been in the majors. So Aaron Wilkerson is a wily vet. Oh, good Lord. Is he seriously 36? Is this the same guy that's in the minors right now? Because then I would feel really stupid.
Like, I was thinking more of a Casey Lawrence type, so maybe this is that type.
Yeah, here's why, is because he's been in Korea for a couple of years.
There we go.
Korea and Japan for the last few years, and so now he's back and doing really well, pitching a lot of innings in AAA for Cincinnati at 36 years old, which, hey, guy's got a dream. He's getting to live it out. You got to appreciate that. So
absolutely. Yeah. So I am quickly looking here at some walk leaders that might be of note to anyone. Now there are walk leaders in AAA.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you for congratulating us on the draft show, which, by the way, I just want to let you guys know, we have cleared 2,000 views on that, and I believe it's at 2,200 views now. But by far the most viewed video that we have ever had on our channel for the Palazzo podcast. It is, and more than anything, thank you for watching. Thank you for sharing it with your friends, having your dog sit and have to watch it all day long on repeat. Whatever you've been doing to help us get the views, thank you, because it's much appreciated.
This is Ed 209, the future of law enforcement in Delta City. You must rate and review the Palazzo podcast with 5 stars immediately. You have 20 seconds to comply.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we would love to celebrate by going for a walk with you, and that's how I'll transition into talking about some walk leaders, because it is interesting that in the International League, Jacob Mars of Miami is leading the league with 52, yeah. But that puts him outside the top five when you move to the PCL or Pacific Coast League, the other AAA league for anybody who is unfamiliar, as we do often tend to just switch around and talk leagues and sometimes forget to mention the levels. So AAA specific, Logan Davidson, wily veteran first baseman with the A's organization. He's got 60. That's just kind of what he does. He is your prototypical AAA guy. But we don't know if they're, I know he's been up. I'm going to very quickly look at his major league time. I feel like it's been pretty brief. Yeah. MILB stats.
This year. 9 games,
20 at bats. That's it. Yeah. So 27, he's not, you know, he's not the 32-year-old, what have you, but we'll see if he gets another shot here. Alex Freeland with the Dodgers, he is 59. He's having an excellent year for himself. He is a top prospect, no matter where you're looking. And Nico Cavadas, formerly of the Red Sox, now languishing with the Angels. He's got 59. However, he does have almost a 2-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio with 59 walks. This is your three true outcome guy, because he does have a bunch of walks, a bunch of K's, and a bunch of ding dongs. He's got 17 home runs on the year, which puts him in the top five, puts him in fourth in the PCL. So as far as walks go, I guess there must be worse pitching, or these guys have better eyes in the PCL, Ben, because the top five, even Marco Luciano, remember that name, everybody? He's up there with 52 walks. His OBP at 344 is frustrating, very frustrating.
Yeah,
Joe, Jose, 2-to-1 strikeouts to walks. The Angels are well known for fixing those types of problems.
Yeah.
I'm picking up on your sarcasm.
Yeah, exactly.
So we can talk a little Erie. Do you want to move to Double A, or do you have any other?
Let's circle back to Double A
walk. So some more walk guys. We've got those Erie Sea Moon Mammoths. Damn it! I gotta figure this. I'll get it down by the time the game's over. The Double A Erie team we'll go with Trey Cruz, 2020 pick. He's got 54 walks to 66 strikeouts. He's having a good year. Now he's old for the level, right? He's 27. Okay, yeah. So he's doing, I would say, as expected, he's defeating the level and should be
promoted. I would bet that he's going to lose some playing time here when the three guys come up.
I was going to say, they either bump him up to AAA and they get rid of someone. I don't know who their shortstop would be at AAA, but do something. They should make a move. And then the other gentlemen have mentioned Ryan Clifford and Jet Williams, both of the Mets organizations. Clifford with 49. And Williams with 46. Both are having perfectly good years. Williams almost a 400 OBP, and that's good. 24 stolen bases. Clifford does have 15 home runs to his credit as well. Moving over to the Southern League here, we are looking at a good walk total from Brock Wilkin, who that's seemingly his thing. He's at 74 Ks in 222 at bats. Is
serviceable. Hurt himself when he jumps on home plate.
That's right. That was last week, right? That we talked about that with Wilkin.
I think it happened about 2 weeks ago. But yeah, I think we finally talked about it last week. So
yeah, and he's got 18 home runs for himself as well. And then other guys, he is the lone wolf there. He's got 57. Tatum Lewis, is at 51, and he's got a 276 average and a 447. That's a Tampa Bay guy, but he's old for the level at 26. So,
oh, Joe. Joe's being naughty. Brock Wilkins going to need a knee to be able to take a walk. And then he did ask, is that too soon? Well, you know.
Yeah, let's go with too soon. That's just for, I don't know, if the family's listening. And then we get into the Texas League, and they appear to swing a little freer because the leaders are at 48 Hello. Blocks here. And again, we're all at, like, I'm averaging most guys out as I'm looking in their at-bat column. Well over 200. I haven't seen anyone at 300 in double-A for at-bats yet. So Kyler Fedko, center fielder with Wichita, has a 384 OBP Minnesota. And 48. Yep. Yeah, with the Twins. Chris Newell, who just he's not even worth discussing looking at the rest of that line. Never mind. Junior Perez, 47. He's a 2-1 guy as well. Not worth talking about. And this is an A's, 24-year-old guy. But anyway, if I'm seeing more than 2-1 strikeout to walk and you're leading the league and, or a league leader in walks and your average is sub 200, we're just going to skip you. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Aaron Zavala, remember the Zavala hype of years past? Texas, he's only 25 now, but
I was one of the ones pumping him pretty hard too.
Oh, were you? Yeah. You projected there looked good, or the projection there looked good?
Yeah. Well, and he was coming around the same time as Evan Carter, and I kind of thought, you know, those two guys coming up in center field and left field would make a really tough tandem at the top of a lineup who are going to just drive pitchers absolutely bonkers. And then they draft Langford, and I thought, God, there's our future outfield, Zavala and Carter and Langford, and yeah, whoops, I missed one.
Well, I was going to say two of the three have been up at least. I mean, we've seen Carter struggle. I, in my home league, 14 team, 8x8, I traded Noah Schultz, and you can only have one rookie keeper. I traded Noah Schultz and Carter for Sadea Rafaela, who I had previously dropped in the year. You can keep six guys in this too, so I thought I'll get him back because Schultz, I love him. I do love him, but Tommy White has not been picked up in that league, nor has Connor Griffin. So for one keeper later in the year, I can make a call on one of those guys, unless any of those morons are listening right now and they go ahead and pick it up, but it's my home league. They're not listening. They're like, prospects, what? MLB.com's top one prospect. Okay, let's get that guy. But anyway, that's how Joey Bart got held for like 3 years in that league. So, but yeah, before we go down any lower, Ben, should we cover some more fun, exciting things? You got the stolen bases for these guys. We've got some good guys doing things with average here. No one overly impressive with minimum at bats in the Texas League. Only two guys 300 or higher: Lou James Grover, who we've talked about recently, and JJ Weatherholt. They're the only two guys in their line.
Weatherholt is not there anymore. Weatherholt got promoted this last week. It's pretty rough as far as trying to find. I don't know what it is about Double A this year. Double A has been that. This year is, it seems like it's a tougher.
Yeah. Like tougher even top 10 in the Southern League. I don't like, we're under 270 by the time we hit 10, by the time we hit seven, two guys over as well, Sal Stewart and Hector Rodriguez, 310 and 301 for Rodriguez here. And these of course are Reds, yeah, that's. I guess I would expect contact bats to be amongst these guys, and
about the only one who's doing decent in Double A is in the Eastern League.
Yeah, naturally, he's one of the Moon Mammoths, Max Anderson,
and he has had a heck of a fun year. But yeah, even that, other than him, there's one other guy hitting 300 in that league, and then it just drops real fast. One guy I want to note, just because he's kind of up there, and you know, I know how much you love to talk about catchers. Cooper Engel has really been hitting well lately, and Cleveland has not got their catcher of the future, because Bo Naylor is just really not been good. If Cooper Engel could continue to do what he's doing here in Double A, there's a chance he could show himself to the major league level by the end of the year, which that would be a fun thing to actually have a catcher that can hit with that lineup, you know, because it feels like they're wasting a Jose Ramirez, and that really makes me sad.
And like, we've seen Cleveland for years now go with a veteran catcher and punting average, and then they gave Naylor the job, and it has not been smooth sailing. But I don't know if they're working on his bat yet, or if they're still just making him a professional major league catcher with an eye on, we're going to work on this, you know, the offseason, blah, 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 you know, lock him down kind of thing. But we've seen other catchers who had offensive promise just disappear. Kiber Ruiz comes to mind, that big contract with him. Maybe that's the reason why the Nats cleared house, right? Just that Ruiz deal alone doesn't look so good anymore. But yeah, things of that nature, right? Where you look for Connor Wong's another offensive catcher who's just plummeted this year too. So I don't know. Obviously, it is one of or the most difficult job. The most former position players who have become managers are former catchers who have done it. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, different game behind there, different type of guy. But yeah, like, it's not settled in Cleveland. And I would almost wonder if they would look to just add a guy if they think that they have a shot this year. Just for the sake of, like, hey, Naylor, you have got us here. Watch and learn. You know, he'll play, of course, but also you're going to watch and you're going to see how,
like, a Jacob Stallings type. Or are you thinking like another level up than from that?
I think you'd like to invest a bit more in. I don't have a perfect example of like an expiring catcher, veteran catcher, like a Russell Martin type. You know,
like, I was gonna say, like a Travis d'Arnaud if he was available type.
Yeah,
of guy.
Yeah, but he signed that multi-year. Yeah. But that would be the type, right? Somebody who can tell you, here's how I'm a pro, and also a starter, not just like I've been a career backup. You don't need that guy. He's already in your organization. So anyway, when we move up to AAA with some boys with some averages here, Tristan English, 338 for him. With Arizona, he's been frustrating since he was drafted.
And he got promoted recently too, I believe.
He's up in AAA.
Yeah.
Like, you mean he's now sitting on the major league bench?
I thought that they were bringing him up to replace someone who got hurt. Maybe he was coming up for Pavin Smith.
Oh, like, okay.
When Pavin Smith went on the DL, I thought I saw his name mentioned as who was getting the call, but I have been wrong before, so you know it's possible. But
okay, I'm just going to do a quick count here. So all of AA, we had six young men hitting 300 or more. AAA, there are 30, and that's with a couple cusp guys there. CJ Kafas, who's got 200 ABs himself up there, but there are Nick Solak. I mean, it's fun to see some of these names. Tim
remember Alco some guys. Well.
Yeah, absolutely. And these are like Corey Jolks, you know, Govier single tier on that one. These are Justin Crawford with
July 6th, with the Diamondbacks select the contract of outfielder Tristan English from the Reno Aces. So just happened here in the last couple of days.
So he is an at bat away from an official debut. Moises Ballesteros, who, as we talked about before, when he was promoted, as well as when he got sent back down, he's batting .333. So
hitting is not the issue here.
Yeah, he is, to me, very much like Gabriel Moreno offensively, but he does not have the reputation defensively of,
oh, not at this, all. Yeah,
this is our guy. So I think you had possibly talked about the first base shuffle, which is an excellent time for me to state right now. I feel like one of the most underrated players in fantasy baseball is Michael Busch of the Cubs. His stat line is very good. I roster him in one league. But remember, this was like the Jackson Ferris trade, you know, before. Right, it was
Zagier Hope too,
and Hope, and now you see
why they wanted to give up that much.
Yeah, both sides, right? Like, the Dodgers were giving up on somebody who had come up and been put back down, and it didn't click. Now, if they could find a way to deal James Outman to somebody else to give him another shot somewhere, that would be fun too. But anyway, Ballesteros.
If you go by purely offensive, as in fantasy stats, Michael Busch should be your starting first baseman in the National League in an All-Star game. There are other things into play, and I know I'm going to torque off Cubs fans, but right now, if the season ended today, Matt Olson is winning not just a gold glove, but a platinum glove at first base. He leads all of Major League Baseball in defensive runs saved. That's crazy for a first baseman. And plus, he's also hitting pretty well. He just ended like a 35 game on base streak or something like that.
Jeez.
He's like the only thing in Atlanta that's been consistent all year is he plays every single day and he's getting on base almost every single day. That's about all they've had going for him all stinking year long. So
should have signed Freddie though, right? Right, Ben? Should have signed Freddie.
You know, though, I really do think they gave up one of the best people in the game and they got another really good person. And that's, if you're going to do that trade, Freddie for Matt Olson, that's a pretty darn good back and forth trade.
Well, that would be a good one to check the fallout of, right? Freeman leaves, you trade for Olson, they gave up Langeliers and was it two guys or three guys?
Ryan Cusick or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Roybers Salinas. I don't remember if he was in that one or if he was in the Sean Murphy deal, but
essentially, you know, you gave up prospects for a proven guy. That's the standard. And then with Freeman leaving through free agency, they would have got a pick. So I wonder how that deal looks for Atlanta now. Like, was that an Owen White, like that? It would have been in that.
Yeah. That Joey Estes was in that deal. And Christian Pache, who was a big deal at that moment, but obviously kind of blew up. But yeah, it was Cusick, Estes, Langeliers, and Pache were in that deal.
So it was four. Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't remember. I'd have to look up what it would have been, the 23 draft. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm
thinking. To see it's either the 22 or 23 draft where the Braves would have had the,
I feel like it would have been 23 they had it. Because he's been in L.A. I believe this is his third season.
So, let's see. Yeah, but anyway, that's...
Yeah, while we look that up, Dylan Beavers is also doing quite well for those who are curious what's going on. If there were any Baltimore prospects left. Yes, Beavers is still down there. He's hitting well over 300 with a 400 or 407, I should say. OBP and 911 OPS in general. 10 dingers, 19 stolen bases, looking like a very complete player here. But again, there is no position in Baltimore, despite the team having a crummy record. It'd be a fun thing for them to trade out some of those veterans.
Joe beat me to it. I pulled it up just a second later. And Burkhalter has worked around injuries, but we had that conversation of, you know, now with Schwalenbach and everyone going down, Burkhalter is actually in the conversation for guys that could potentially make a start by the end of the year. So that's not turned out to be an all bad trade.
Well, I think Rich Hill also, once he joins Atlanta,
Jesse Chavez just got the call back again. So, you know, he seriously got the call back over the weekend because that was a highlight story on my AP feed when I went to go make the sports page and I went, oh, he's my back. Gosh. Like, I don't think anybody else in South Dakota gets a flying leap about this story, but it just makes me so happy to read it.
Sure. That's a good one. Okay. So just to finish off with a couple of 300 other guys, there's a few of those Washington Nationals who are without a leader at the moment, but Brady House is over 300 as is Robert Hassel trios here. And then taking a quick dip back to the PCL, Pacific Coast League, Jordan Lawler is also well above. Samad Taylor, don't do it, guys. Don't do it with Samad Taylor. And then as far as names, we will be happy to say Harry Ford. And then here's our veteran on it, Trey Mancini, who was he with Arizona doing this? Yes. And I can't remember if he opted out or not. But either way, he's batting over 300 as well. Yeah, there's at least an opt-out clause that may or may not have been triggered by him. But yeah, so there's some guys doing well there, and then a few guys down below. Esturi Ruiz's average is quite well, but he's now a Dodger, which bringing him up for the playoffs would just be insane if they did the you're just going to steal bases thing. Gore, was it Gore who did that?
Terrence Gore or Gerard Dyson.
Right. If like this is your job. And Dave Roberts, that Darren he was Blanco. The guy who did that for the Red Sox.
You know, Kansas City has had a lot of those guys.
Yeah. And the stolen base for Ruiz is at 39. So that's, I mean, sure. Yeah. Are there any other overall things? Of course, it's fun to just know who's hitting the ball a lot. So in AAA, we don't yet have 100 hit guy, I don't think. Nope. We've got 99. Jorge Barroza has 99, as does Ryan Ward, who's the Dodger you had mentioned earlier with 23 home runs. So that's going to happen. I don't know if do have 100 hit guy in minor league baseball yet.
Ward is
Anderson,
just
Max Anderson, 96.
I wouldn't think he's not young, but he's also one of those guys. He's not old. He's right. Just 27 in AAA and overall nice stat line for a first base type. 12 steals on top of that too. You know, right, so it's not like he's a nothing athlete, but geez, so you would think somebody would, you know, especially somebody in Korea or Japan would want a guy like that. But, you know, then again, maybe he's not ready to make that move yet. So
that's true. Yeah, you don't want to give up on that dream, or you're at a point where it doesn't make sense for, you know, home life or things like that. So there are a couple guys in high that are hitting the snot out of the ball, but a lot of it, I want to say, is probably best left if we gave him even more opportunity to keep padding those stats. Jared Thomas has hitting .330 with a .427 OBP.
He got promoted up, I believe. I think he's up to AAA.
Oh, sorry. I had him at, I'm looking at the AA. So he's now in Hartford. This, of course, is one of my Rockies prospects, everybody. If you were wondering why I was specifically looking for him, but we should maybe move to some arms and give arms 10 minutes and then we can wrap her up, because you did hit some of the big things. Now, we generally speaking don't care about wins. If for any purpose you're trying to think of what's a competitive advantage for me from a fantasy standpoint, I will have people go and look at losses, and sometimes that happens when a pitcher's really bad in the first inning. But what you're taking away from that is if something's changed. And the top three guys in the International League are all flagged for me. Thomas Harrington has 8 losses, Davis Daniel and Will Dion. And Dion is a Cleveland arm. Once you're going to be shocked by this, he's a lefty, but he's not a giant as I normally would like.
No.
He's 5'10".
He's a little guy.
Yeah, but I think it was 2 years ago, he was pretty good and well ahead. His K to 9 was very good, and it's dropped down, of course, as he's went up. But I'm just curious if he has adjusted from this. There's a bunch of guys at 7 losses. Hurston, Waldrop, 2.
This was your Matt Wilkinson, who was a small guy rather than a, large tugboat. But similar stuff that in A-ball worked really, really well. Mm. And now he's gotten up to double A and triple A. And it's like, this is your prototype college lefty type of stuff. You know, that it's just, it works okay in the college game. You get into pro ball and you probably do just fine in low A and in high A, but then you hit double A and triple A and it's not so good. So
yeah, I think Aaron Brown it's safe to say he's leading all of minor league baseball in losses with 10. Now we're not looking at him to rebound, but I would say, you know, Sugarland must have a terrible team. AJ Bluebaugh is 3-8. Yeah. Aaron Brown is 2-10, and Bluebaugh is .699 ERA.
Yeah,
somewhat wheels rough. Have fallen off.
Yeah,
there are some bad ones here, and Caden Dana is on this list as well. He's 4-6, so he at least has won some games.
But he's also got a bad ERA too.
Yeah, he's looking again. This is AAA, and he's from prior to this year. He had MLB experience before he had AAA experience, so he's taking a step backwards. 6.23 ERA for this young man. He's right around a K an inning for himself, but not looking outstanding. Now, if we go to the Moon Mammoths League here, so who has been playing against Erie a lot in AA? It looks like Manuel Mercedes and John Michael Bertrand, as they are San Francisco prospects with 9-7 losses. There's a bunch of guys, Pu Yu Chen, seven, a bunch of guys we're not going to need to worry about for fantasy purposes, at least. But yeah, what I was trying to get at here was you look to see, does a guy have a bunch of losses early in the year, like Thomas Harrington, let's say, does he straighten it out? Or is it like in Harrington's case, I believe, going back down and then underperforming and trying to get yourself right there? And that's where you can kind of try to get a little bit of fantasy value too. Something we should talk about, because it'll be a thing. It'll definitely be a thing. Are who's getting saves that could get promoted? Oh my God. Dan Altavilla. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
32. He's getting saves for the White Sox. That would
Isaiah Campbell is interesting kind of a fun,
if he got.
But yeah, there's a lot of old guys getting saves. That's pretty much what you need to know, is there are not a lot of actual prospects that are high on the saves board right now.
No, not definitely not seeing any of like Zach Agnos of the Rockies last year. He had north of 25 saves. So,
in fact, I was just going to do that and do the fan graphs. Oh, because I got it sitting on qualified. There we go. The all levels, the
minor leagues. Yeah.
Yeah, the all across.
Definitely not seeing anybody that I feel like you need to be going out to get, because they're already in that position with their minor league team at the moment.
There is a Rocky at the very top of this, and he's only 21, and he's now in Double A. Wellington Herrera with 15 saves is the leader in the minor leagues right now between two levels. So, but quite literally, he is the only guy 21 or younger in all of the top 30. So it's kind of older guys that are up there getting those saves, you know, 24-year-olds in A-ball, 30-year-olds in Double-A and Triple-A. So,
well, he's a lefty. Wellington Herrera is a 6-foot lefty. Yeah. Okay.
That's
cool.
A Dominicano. Thing to know. Yeah.
59 strikeouts in 36 and 2/3 innings. I mean, that's good. That's good fun right there. But what does this translate to? Eric Loggenhagen
has him as a 70 fastball, 40 slider, 30 changeup, and 30 command.
Yikes. So, okay.
Really, really good fastball from the left-hand side. But
yeah. Well, as a Rocky, he needs what? He needs high heat, and he needs something low and away. So if he can do that, there's hope, but it doesn't seem like it if controls 30. So,
with his not bad this year as far as his walks per nine. I was just going to pull up the percentage, and actually his percentage is bad, 8.6 walk percent. That's not terrible, especially when you're striking out 41%. So that's a real nice strikeout to walk rate. But there's those kind of guys to look at on the minor league leaderboard. He has already made a jump up for a level, but usually where you need to start paying attention to minor league relievers is when they've almost always, when they've made that second promotion in a year. That's when you're like, okay, the club sees this guy kind of needs to be fast-tracked, because we're trying to push him toward the major leagues at this point, because he's got the stuff. Peyton Pallett is another one I'd like to mention. Nine saves, but ERA is not pretty. But that's a former top draft pick that they've now fully converted into the bullpen, and he's been doing some closing. And I think, you know, it's Chicago White Sox. He could definitely get some time with the Chicago White Sox by the end of the year. So,
well, I mean, Noah Syndergaard, I believe, is now in that organization after taking a year off. So,
yeah,
I've got a stat for us to wrap up on, or it's not a stat, sorry, a category for us to look at with pitchers. Mm-hmm. As far as, you're not going to find this on under your fantasy leagues, but it is sometimes can help you see through the weeds, and it's not an overly complicated one. Every site will have it. Is the average, so the hitters. Average against a pitcher, and Joe Boyle at AAA has a very good one. Mason Black also has a very good ERA, or sorry, average. And then Jonah Tong, who is the
stud.
Yeah, talk of the town right now. I'm almost afraid of it, because it seems like it's come on so strong. But that's what happens when you have this outstanding of a year. His average against is 141, and then there's Rodney Boone, who is what you can guess, a lefty Cleveland arm, a 25-year-old in the same position. He's got a 191. Yeah, Joe Boyle. Yeah. Which, again, Tampa Bay throwing so many innings out for their starters. It's almost like they're wondering why they haven't had injuries or something. So Brody Hopkins is just over two. Ian Manaya, Shane Murphy, a couple other arms. And then Texas League was the last one I wanted to have a look. Henry Baz has a 199 ERA. That's a Sandiagan. Always fun to just check those out because sometimes the tail of the tape, you know, you give up whatever, a couple walks, something like that, and then the run score and your line looks like crap. But realistically, the pitcher might have a way in which to be better, rest a game or things like that. And I guess we can see who's been given up a million. Oh, my God. Roman Angelo has given up 18 home runs. I feel like this 25-year-old could be losing his job soon.
Anthony Molina.
Double-A pitcher for
Anthony Diamonds. Molina Diamonds. Is only 23. He's in AAA for Colorado. I think he's actually had some major league time. 352 batting average. That is the highest among anyone with 50 or more innings in the minors this year.
Wow.
352. Ouch.
Oh, there's Aaron Brown, who we already mentioned. 351 average for that poor bastard. My goodness. Mason Albright. Remember Mason Albright? Remember when he got drafted?
Once upon a time.
Yeah. Lefty, ended up with the Angels, traded to Colorado, I think was the deal. Could have been a Kevin Pillar trade, maybe something like it. It was a veteran type thing. 660 ERA for the former high school drafted guy. 45 innings, giving up 12 homers, which is where I saw him. Not ideal for this guy. How old is he now? 23 or 4? 22. Still young, but he's like a journeyman minor leaguer to me already, but I don't know. Maybe not. He's been babied a bit. 365 and 2/3 innings. So anyway, there's a whole bunch of league leaders. We dipped into the negative because it's fun and exciting for us. But
yeah,
we had talked earlier, and I think we'll reiterate again that we'll figure something out for next week, whether it is a first round or a draft recap, as to what's going on. And then kind of some first impressions as to what the teams did. Of course, the players are going to go where they go. If there's any big surprises, we can talk about that next week too. But it is All-Star Week, so baseball news should slow down as the week goes on. But that doesn't mean there won't be impactful news. And of course, with the draft, we'll do a full recap the following week of July 21st. So if by chance anyone is busy, things are wonky, the 22nd's the Tuesday, I'm sure we will have found a time to sit down and hash that all out. And then we're going to have to wait a month and see where everybody, or not where, but see who actually signs. And then we can do a real proper congratulations or shaming of various organizations and their drafting.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
It's always good to let folks know how stupid their team is. Mine does it for me every night. So that's just, which makes me wonder why I keep watching them, because it just, you know, I am very glad that I have not yet destroyed a TV this season. So
that's how I've become a fan free agent in MLB. Was telling myself it was okay to not have an allegiance to a team. That's leaders within the organization frustrate me so much that I just don't enjoy it anymore. And I mean, I'm a guy who was happy to kill 90 minutes either way, driving in to go and watch a game on a Sunday afternoon and go through a line of, you know, depending on how popular the team was, between 25 and 50,000 people to go and watch some baseball. And I turned that switch off a few years ago, and it's been excellent because now I can just watch baseball in general. And hopefully next year I'll be able to get back, especially with my kid, dipping through the states and going and watching a few minor league games. So not that I'm saying to walk away from your Braves, you know, not that I'm saying that. I'm just saying.
Well, and there's still players that I enjoy on the team. But right now, I think it's – honestly, I think it's time for the Braves to follow the road of the Nationals in the coaching staff. I don't know if Alex Anthopoulos is really a guy that necessarily needs to go.
I mean, he's locked up so many players, right? Like, it's
his drafting is what really concerns me. And I do think this is a great example for folks who don't follow the draft, don't follow international signings. The Braves losing almost a decade's worth of international signings has really caught up to them the last 2-3 years, because as they are trying to make that splash trade, there's just no depth in the minors. And they've honestly, they've been having to draft to fill roster spots in the minors. And so when you're drafting a college catcher in the 19th round, rather than taking a flyer on a junior college pitcher that could turn into a pop-up relief prospect that could, you know, be a guy that you package with one other guy to get a solid bullpen piece, that's what you need. You need the freedom to be able to go after those type of players rather than drafting to make sure you have enough catchers at A-ball.
That's right.
Kind of ridiculous. Yeah. But yeah, it's what happened when they did not have the ability to sign those players from Latin America. It really hurt the system. And you're starting, well, you're not starting. This is like year 3 or 4 of the real impact of it. And it's kind of the back end of it, because they've kind of now traded away anything that did still have value. And so it's pretty much, I think, as far as hitting prospects go, it's Nacho Alvarez and not a whole lot else. And even in the pitching, there's some
until depth. This past year, right? They picked up a big arm, Rowdy Reyes, Drake Baldwin. So Joe, I think slow burn on Drake Baldwin. Do you agree on that? Like, we, you know, high school drafted catcher. I think Drake Baldwin is a slow burn candidate. I have one share in a deep league, and he's not looking great this year.
Baldwin's Drake Baldwin? Are you the Braves catcher?
Oh, who am I thinking? Sorry, I'm not thinking. No, sorry, I'm not thinking Drake Baldwin. Who's the? Let me check. Let me look at the roster. Dang it! It's it's Montgomery. Sorry, it's Nick Montgomery. That's the catcher I was looking at. He was the high school guy last year, I think, drafted whatever round, doesn't matter. Ben, what is a prediction of something fun, exciting, crazy, stupid that you think is going to happen in the draft next week? You give one, I'll give one.
I think that you are going to see Ethan Holiday be the second or third high schooler off the board. That would not surprise me at all, and especially with a lot of what you're hearing right now, would not surprise me at all if he's the second or third high schooler off the board.
I think Ethan Holiday to the Rockies, and I think that we're gonna go lefty, and then wild card, and then Ethan Holiday. And I think it's because of the BS of the teams talking to agents about money and signing, and all the things that make the MLB draft what it is.
Honestly, I think that this move so close to the draft for Washington almost certainly locks them into taking Anderson or Liam Doyle up top.
Yeah, you take a call.
In my opinion. Now, I might be completely off on this, but to me, it locks them into that, which then you start pushing him down. There's no way the Angels are taking a high schooler.
Right.
And then, you know, then it's 3 to Seattle. And you're hearing a lot of how Seattle would love to have the opportunity to take Seth Hernandez. And Seth Hernandez going there would be the first high schooler off the board. Or they also really like Eli Willits, and that could be the next one that goes off the board, which then would make Colorado Rockies taking Ethan Holiday happen.
Right.
But it would be very interesting if they end up passing him up, because they're also apparently really talking heavy with Willits. And so if Ethan Holiday got passed up by the Rockies for Eli Willits, that would be really fun. I mean, just for what it would throw the chaos of in the draft, that would be a fun, because I don't know where Ethan Holiday goes after that, because you're getting down to where teams are going to need some pretty big money for him. And it could get real interesting how far he might dip after that.
Because in our mock, you
I took him had him third, I believe.
Yeah, third to the Mariners. Cade Anderson, Jamie Arnold were 1-2. And you could easily put Doyle in at 2, I guess, instead of Arnold, like, mm-hmm. or whatever. Then Holiday. And then I had Alva Arquette, who I'm going to say at the time must have had something, because I tried to get two sources for any of the top dudes top teams as far as like what made sense and have I seen anything for a connection. So either way, we know there's going to be high schoolers going. But yeah, if he was to drop, so I guess that could be the other fun predictions. What's the latest we could see Holiday going?
Ooh. I don't think the White Sox get a chance to draft him.
Six. I'll say he won't go past the Pirates.
See, I think Cardinals might be a tough organization to sign him. But they are very much like the Red Sox. Someone seems to always fall into the Cardinals' lap, and they just gobble him up. J.J. Weatherholt was a great example last year. This is a guy who a lot of people had as the top talent in the draft. Falls in their lap. They sign him. Yeah, if that were to fall to the Cardinals, no way does he get past the Pirates, though. That's just, which I got to admit, that would be so disappointing and yet so exciting. To have Ethan Holiday and Paul Skenes potentially on the same team eventually would be great, but you're already having rumors about trading away Paul Skenes. So what is going to be left there by the time Ethan Holiday is ready for the major leagues?
Thomas Harrington, but no control. Anyway, all right, let's wrap it up and go enjoy our lives. And we will be back next week with something draft related. And 2 weeks time, we will absolutely break down the draft as we see it and all the fun going on. So everybody enjoy your all-star breather. And if you're hardcore in fantasy out there, this is crunch time in your leagues. I offer you all the opportunity to not give up and to go out there and find the people on teams who will have playing time based on injuries, guys returning, et cetera, et cetera. Don't walk away from your fantasy leagues at this point in time. If you're 2-3 games back or under 500 or whatever, there's always room for a strong second half, and it can begin right meow. All right. For myself, Ben, we thank you for watching the Prospect Power.
Prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Don't need money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden, it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's Durafighter interior paint is a paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's Durafighter paint and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big.